Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Friday, January 19, 2018, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy. And we're going to have a special guest joining us today. It's going to be a kind of a different thing for us because Wendy and I have not done an interview together, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Before we even get started with that, though, Wendy, I got to ask you the thing that I always ask you every day. What do you have for wins going on?
Well, kind of like yesterday, my win on the surface may not sound like a win, but, you know, I believe any time I get new awareness or have done something unique or different, it is a win. And so yesterday I was talking about getting head cold symptoms and how I recognized how focused I was on them and how that was my cool win yesterday. Well,
today, which is a weird win.
You what?
It's a weird win, no matter how you slice that.
Yeah, well, I've been called weird most of my life. I can handle it. So today, I would say my win would happen during the night. I don't know what it is about when you get a cold, why the nights are so difficult, where the daytime seem better, but I don't know. Anyway, so last night, I was laying in bed, and I was just having a hard time having my body go to sleep when I came to this awareness, and hello, this is my win, I came to an awareness that I was fighting the symptoms.
Ooh.
That I was like trying to deny them and just act as if they didn't exist.
Oh, my.
And when I got that understanding, I went, huh, well, that's what resistance is. Denying what is.
Yeah.
Is resistance.
Yeah.
So I said out loud, okay, I have a head cold. It's what is. And I'm not fighting it anymore. So whatever it is, body, do what you need to do. Because I really know that even head cold symptoms are the body's way of bringing itself back to health. So
that's
I'm like,
true.
Okay, body, do what you do to bring me back to health. I'm totally cool with that. And that did give me, like, a momentary relief. And if nothing else, it made me feel good that I had this cool awareness. And I thought, you know, I have probably resisted colds most of my life when I did have them. And I don't get them often, but when I did, it's like I didn't want to admit that somehow this thing overcame me.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go with it because it is what it is. And then during the day, you know, I hit a point where I went, okay, my brain is not having a really easy time thinking. And so then my next win was called self-care.
Uh-huh.
And I went, I'm going to go take a nap because that's what my body is really needing right now.
There you go.
And I took a nap for about 40 minutes. And when I woke up, I felt a little better. And I knew I had a call I had to be on. I was mostly a passive listener. But I had to be attentive in case there were things that were going to require me to have responses.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, okay, I could do that. And so my win is, one, I stopped resisting what is, and two, I had a moment of self-care where I took care of me.
Fantastic.
And three, okay, I'm going to add another win.
Okay.
I didn't call and cancel on you.
Yeah, that's good.
Like,
I like
you
that.
Body, you know, you can get it together for an hour. I've done it. I used to fake it till I make it all the time. So I'm like, I can do it. So here I am.
Hooray!
On the show having a good time.
Oh, so good. Well, I'm glad you did it, and you're sounding great. So clearly the work that you did made a difference. So thank you for doing the show as usual once again. And plus, we're going to make it really easy on you because we have a special guest joining us today. Her name is Des Stevens. She is the founder and CEO of Radiant Coaches Academy, also previously known as Radiant Health Institute. It's a social enterprise and prominent international coaching training school, which certifies individuals to create, in her words, vibrant professional private practices as holistic life coaches and wellness coaches and business coaches. She's a certified life coach herself, a master trainer, and a marketing strategist. And she is one of the co-authors of the new book that we're working on. So
woo-hoo!
We have lots of perspectives here to talk about. Please welcome Des Stevens. Des, thanks for joining us today.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
We love having you. This is great. And you're actually starting a new thing here, so to speak, on LOA Today, because we haven't really done a whole lot with a three-way interview format before now. So you're breaking ground here. I hope you realize that.
I love it. I love the whole two co-host kind of concept. And I like what you were saying earlier about these wins. A lot of people think that their law of attraction stuff needs to be these huge, you know, life-changing, light bulb popping, you know, moments, when really sometimes it's just our everyday activities where we see them the most.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because a win is a win. Anything that gets you into a positive space, right? That's a win, right?
That's right.
So tell us a little bit more about how you got Radiant Coaches Academy going, because you've been doing it for quite some time. You have quite a faculty, so to speak, of people who are involved, quite an academy.
It's kind of amazing what we've done in 6 years, but it really was a call for in-person training in the Mid-South. I have been a coach since 2005 in the Nashville area. I'm originally from Chicago, but when I moved here and I became a coach, people would always ask me, they would say, well, where can I become a coach? You know, I'm interested in this. And I would say, well, I went to school in San Diego. I guess you could go there. Or I recommend a school maybe in Colorado. And then I thought, wait a minute, there's nothing here in the Mid-South and there's nothing in person. So I really created it out of a need. And I started my program at Vanderbilt University because I thought, well, it needs to be substantial. I need to earn my accreditation as soon as I can through the International Coach Federation. I need to federally trademark my intellectual property. So I'm doing it really well. And these were all lessons I've learned from being a coach myself, a marketing coach, and learning kind of the mistakes that my clients make a lot of the time. They don't protect their stuff. They don't establish it well on the front end. They don't do a pilot program. So I did all that stuff, and it turns out it works. So we have done quite a lot. We thought at the 10-year mark we would be doing what we do now between the 5th and 6th year. So we're kind of ahead of schedule, which is really fun, but we have grown a lot. We have met the need, certainly, for in-person training. But our differentiator is that we're holistic. And it's not to say that other coaches aren't out there doing a holistic paradigm, but we specifically train on that model so that the coach is learning, and we don't mean holistic medicine when we say that. We just mean the whole of the person, right? So we can't talk about their money without talking about their health. We can't talk about their relationships without talking about their money, you know, because everything affects everything, right? So another holistic part of that also,
what I know in life coaching in general, it's like there are so many types of coaches. Business coaches, executive coaching, there's health coaching, there's wellness coaching, there's life coaching. So, like, how do you differentiate, or how do you, like, label, if I could say that?
We first started as just a holistic life coach training school, because I was trained that way and that's what I knew well. But coaching is coaching. So really the paradigm is the same. You train a coach how to coach, and then they pick their specialty. They pick their demographic. So let's say they're a nurse and they want to become a coach. Well, maybe now they're a wellness coach because they know the medical side or the clinical side, or maybe they want to help somebody with their food or their movement. Maybe it's a personal trainer and they want to, you know, delve more into the whole body wellness versus just the exercise, right? So we train someone to be a coach. That is our first week of training. And then our second full week of training, we basically get into that nuance. You know, who do you want to serve? You know, who are you good with? For example, someone might be a really good divorce coach because maybe they're an attorney. Maybe they've been divorced and they've kind of been there, done that. Maybe they want to do grief coaching because they've had loss, or maybe they're a counselor. Maybe they want to do teen coaching because they love teenagers. It doesn't matter. We change as coaches, by the way, along the way. I started out as a life coach. I then became a marketing coach. Now I'm a relationship coach. So sometimes we need to change out what we're doing to keep it fresh for ourselves.
Fascinating.
But trust me, there are hundreds of coaches. Well, I hear terms every day like, wow, I didn't know there was a coach for that. That's cool.
So, like, if you could kind of give us an idea of, like, because I think you said in week one you teach the basic coaching process, and then you, like, week two starts where you get into more of the specialization. So, like, do you have, like, maybe 3 to 5 key points that you teach people in that foundational coaching part?
I would say one of the biggest things we focus on is what it is not, because there are so many coaches out there, people who are untrained, uncertified, that frankly are counseling without a license because they simply don't realize that's what they're doing. They're trying to help and they're giving advice and they're directing too much and they're trying to deal with, you know, mental health issues when really that's out of our scope. So the first week we focus a lot on active listening. You know, we really get deep into that because that's really what coaching is about. Just all the processes, it sounds really simple because it is, turns out it is we listen. And while we're listening, we're observing, right? Maybe their body language, maybe their, you know, their nonverbal cues because so much of our communication is nonverbal. We're observing their energy, whether it's on the phone, Skyping, or in person. Then we're going to ask them a question. It's a process of listening, observing, and asking. So even though that sounds really simple, we might spend an entire day on listening, an entire day on human behavior, an entire day on asking. Because as simple as it sounds, if we simply ask a question, so for example, someone says, I want to run a marathon. Maybe that's their thing they want to talk about or their goal, because a lot of clients will show up with goals. If I said to them, okay, here's how you run a marathon, and tomorrow we're going to start by buying you some shoes, and we're going to find you, you know, a running club, and we're going to run the Boston Marathon next year. You know, if I'm directing them too much, it's now about me, and it's not about them anymore. But if instead I ask them a question like, well, which marathon would you like to run? And what do you think the first step is to running a marathon? And if they start explaining to me, oh, I want to run the Chicago Marathon, that's exactly where I see myself running my marathon. Okay, so what year do you see yourself running this marathon? Oh, well, I guess it takes about a year to train. So let's say next year. Great. Do you know when the Chicago Marathon is next year? Let's look it up. Let's Google it. Right? So we start a conversation, and we're simply asking questions that get them to their answers. That's the coaching process, very simply said.
Okay. So when you're coaching somebody, it's not so much about the kind of coaching. It's more about what coaching is about. That's what you're really driving at. What does a good coach do regardless of what their modality is?
Exactly. So if I'm a life coach, you know, I can talk about obviously a lot of things, but if I'm a money coach, we might talk about your budget. We might talk about your spending, your saving, your mindset around money. But the process is the same. So if I'm aging, let's say, you know, I'm 52 now. So when I started coaching, I was in my mid-40s. My mid-30s. So at a mid-30s level, I was probably more into like, yeah, I'm going to be a life coach and this is going to be really fun. Well, now I'm middle-aged. So I can be a middle-aged coach. I can be a more of a mindset coach, or maybe I can talk about retirement issues or, you know, things that I now know in my own life experience can apply to my coaching. I could coach millennials, even though I'm not a millennial as well. So it's not necessarily about what I know, but sometimes it's about my experience. So a consultant, for example, would be more hired for their knowledge, right? Let's say a financial consultant or a business consultant. Well, a business coach does a little spin different on that. We're not mentors. We're not consultants. We're not counselors, right? We're coaches. So if I'm a business coach and I go into a business and I talk to a business owner, I'm going to be asking them questions. I'm not going to be telling them what to do. A consultant does that. Now, I might have a little bit to offer. You know, I might say, well, have you ever thought of doing this? Or have you ever considered hiring, you know, a consultant to do this? Or what have you tried so far, right? But it's more of an ask in a coaching setting than it is in a giving advice.
Okay. All right. Now, how did you get involved in coaching? What drew you into the whole thing?
Oh, my gosh. I just love how I got into coaching. I never, ever thought of myself as a counselor, social worker, helper, server kind of person.
So what were you going to be when you grew up? What was your dream when you were growing up? What were you going to be?
My dream was to travel the world, basically either being a translator or a dance translator, which means translating movement.
Okay.
And I was working at a healing arts center because marketing is my background. I was doing the marketing there and the programming there. And a very respected colleague of mine turns to me one day. This would have been 2003. She says, "You would make an amazing life coach." And I turned to her and I said, "Me? Like, why? Why me? Because I'm a terrible listener. I don't like people." I was like, you know, "I am the least likely life coach on the planet." She said, "No, you are incredibly resourceful. You're very kind. You're very compassionate. You'd be amazing." And I thought, wow, I just do not see that. And she said, "Well, you learn how to listen in training." And I was like, "Well, sign me up then." Because I had tried everything. You know, I had been to all these self-help workshops and all these, you know, personal development. I'd read every book and I could not learn how to listen. And I'm a twin. I'm an identical twin. So I think I've always been fighting for the conversation, maybe something like that. I don't know. So when I went to, I literally went to my training in San Diego with Guiding Mindful Change, which is an amazing school, just to learn how to listen. And I got my money's worth. That's what I thought I was going to gain from it. So I didn't go into it to start a private practice. I was already a marketing professional. And then one day, maybe, I don't know, 6 months after my training, I realized, well, first of all, in the training, I realized I was very good at it. Like, I was kind of like a fish to water. I was like, "Ooh, this is really easy for me." So about 6 months later, I realized, whoa, I can market coach my clients instead of consulting with them. So a marketing client typically wants, you know, PR and, you know, attention and money and, you know, fame and fortune is kind of what they're after. So when you get them in the newspaper, they're like, "Okay, when's my next article?" Right?
Right.
Or if they're on TV, they want to know the next, you know, it's like they're very hungry for what you're offering. And with coaching, I realized I could learn a process where I can teach them how to self-market, because really that's what they're after. They don't want to keep hiring someone and paying me a lot of money all the time. They want to learn how to do it and then have someone maybe on their team market the company or the, you know, the service or the product. So I loved switching my consultancy to coaching as a marketing professional. So I did that for many, many years, but then even that got a little like, you know, I needed like a little change. So that's why I realized just as a person, I'm really good at talking to people about their relationships. So that's why that's the focus for me now.
Okay. All right.
So, how does law of attraction fit into this, or does it not?
Well, I tell you, when you're sitting with a client or Skyping with a client or on the phone, you're constantly seeing it in motion, right? They might not know that term. People like you talk about it all day long, right? Every day. That's your thing. But most people, when you say, "Have you ever heard of the law of attraction? Or do you want to learn about this law of attraction concept? This, like the law of gravity, the law of, you know," and they're like, "What is that?" They don't even know what it is.
Like their eyes glaze over, like, huh?
That you're always expecting to get sick and then you get sick. Have you noticed, you know, like, and then when you make them aware of it, they're like, "Whoa, like this is a very much a part of my day, but I use it in very negative ways." So I love teaching my clients what it is, because at a very base level, here's a technique I use in session. If I have a very negative client, very negative self-talking client, I will write down, I will like hashtag how many negative comments they make about themselves. And so I'll stop maybe 20 minutes after the session starts and I'll say, "I have been counting how many negative things you say about yourself. And in the last 20 minutes, you have said 12 negative things about yourself." And they'll say, what do you think they'll say?
Probably get defensive, I would think.
Well, that's what you'd expect. But actually what they usually say is like, "Oh, I didn't even know I was doing that."
Oh, okay.
Like, they're not even aware that they're doing it, right? Like, if I said that to my mom, "Mom, you're talking really negatively," she would get defensive, right? Because that's a social conversation. But when a coach says it, they're like, "Oh, like, you know, I'm helping them with self-awareness." So then they might say like, "Oh, I don't want to do that. How do I change that?" Right? So I might say, well, so for example, when you say, well, I could never do that because I'm not smart enough. What could you say instead? So again, this is a question, right? Mm-hmm. I don't say what you should say instead is this, right? Because that will help them in the short term, but not the long term. I need to teach them how to do this for themselves. So they might say, well, I guess another way to say that is, I'm smart enough. Great. Well, how, in what ways are you smart? Well, I'm pretty good with money. Great. Tell me how you're good with money. And then I get, kind of get them rolling in this positive, you know, wording.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens a lot with clients, by the way. They'll say, okay, I'm so broke. I can't go on vacation. I don't have enough money. I don't have money for that. You know, they're constantly in this loop about money, negative thoughts about money. So sometimes I ask them to flip that one. That's the hardest one to flip, by the way. So their flip might be, I'm not broke.
I'll say, well, it's closer.
That's kind of reinforcing the word broke. So let's change that word, shall we? You know, so it takes people a while. The concept itself, I just describe it. I define it. I explain it in a very simple way. Like I'll say, okay. For example, like lint. You know how lint is attracted to other lint and how in the dryer, when you take the lint out, it all sticks together? That's the law of attraction at work on a physical level. And they're like, oh, okay. So then I say, you notice how at work, you might sit at a table where there's kind of a vibe going on, like the Game of Thrones table or the table where people are gossiping about each other or the table that are talking too much about work on their break. You know how clicky we get, you know, like that's the law of attraction. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm at the Game of Thrones table, you know. So if I describe it in a really basic way, then they start applying it to, oh, okay, this is why this is happening. This is why I'm always losing my keys because I'm always expecting to lose my keys, things like that. And, you know, I might talk about the secret. I might not. I might use the term law of attraction. I might not. But you know I'm going to talk about it because I have to. It's such a big part of coaching.
It's interesting, too. I mean, you use the questioning approach. I mean, you try to draw the answers out of them rather than giving the answers, which is a great approach. It's one of my favorites, too. Trying to get them to express and get themselves into that alignment position, right? Without explaining even what an alignment is. So that part is great. The other thing that caught my attention in that is you tend to turn it into everyday stuff without getting into the vernacular. And that I can see how that cuts through a lot of stuff really quickly.
Oh my gosh. If you stay in the, let's say, 1 to 3 year range, when I train my students, I say, we're talking about the short-term future here with our clients. We are not talking about a 10-year plan. We are not talking about what you wanted to be when you grew up, when you were little. We are not talking about grandiose, you know, someday. This is where people get stuck. Someday I'm going to go on vacation. Someday I'm going to travel the world, right? Someday I'm going to get married. Someday I'm going to have a lot of money, right? That someday never comes because they're in this far away thinking, feeling place. But if I said, as a coach to my client, if they say, well, I'm going to get married someday. Okay, great. Who would you like to marry? And they'll say, what do you mean? And I'll say, oh, I haven't met them yet. I'll say, well, I don't mean who, like specifically who. I mean, like, tell me the kind of person you want to marry. Oh, okay. And they'll describe this person and they'll say, where are you going to get married? Oh, I want to go on a destination wedding to Hawaii. Oh, well, tell me what the cake is going to taste like. And they'll describe that. And tell me about the pina coladas. And tell me who's going to be at the wedding. And tell me what your vows are going to sound like. And now if I get them there describing multi-sensory experiences a year out, trust me, that is manifesting it right there. And they don't even know they're manifesting it. So I just took them in one conversation from, well, someday I'm going to get married, I hope, to next year I'm getting married in Hawaii to the man of my dreams, and we're going to have a pina colada cake. And I'm going to be wearing this dress with these flowers, with these people by my side. And they get emotional. It's not only multisensory, it's now a feeling. It's now an expectation. It's now a dream that's become a defined dream. So I cannot tell you how many, because I've been a coach for almost, how many years now? 2005, 13 years now. I had a client, she said to me one day, I want to move out of Nashville because there are no good-looking men in Nashville. And she's okay. originally from New York. She's an attorney. And I said, great, where are the good-looking men, right? Because I want to ask a question. I don't want to say, oh, yeah, you're right. There are no good-looking men in Nashville. Or, oh, no, you're wrong. There are plenty of good-looking men. You know, that's advice. That's got, you know, that's what your grandmother or your friend would say, right? So instead, what I said was, well, where are the good-looking men? And what do you think she said?
New York.
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
And
where on earth did you come
like,
up
okay,
with Pittsburgh?
Tell me more about the Pittsburgh men. And she said, well, you know, there's a lot of Italian guys there, and they're so nice, and they love their mothers. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, Joe Manganiello is from Pittsburgh. He's the guy on, he's Sofia Vergara's husband, if you know who that is. And, you know, tall, good-looking, you know, amazing. And I was kind of thinking in my head, like, oh, yeah, I kind of agree with that. And she said, well, I'm going to move there. And it was November, by the way, when she said this. And I, instead of saying, like, oh, is that realistic? You know, you'd have to change your license. And it's November. It's snowing. Instead, what I said was, well, how long will it take you to pack up your stuff and go? And she said, 2 weeks. And guess what she did about a month later? She moved to Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And I was not there to say, well, maybe you should wait until the spring, or maybe you should reconsider because you're being too negative about Nashville men. Maybe you need to, you know, rethink your whatever. And guess who she's married to now? A beautiful Italian man in Pittsburgh. So that we have to let them tell us what they want, right? Because that's what a coach is doing. Like, what do you want? What do you want out of life? You know, who do you want to be? How do you want to feel? And we have to listen and allow and let them have the law of attraction take over. You know, as not that you have to allow it because it's already in place, but it's almost like our questioning gets them into this mindset of like, yeah, I totally can do this. And then so I'm just kind of creating that space for them. That's all I'm doing.
And, you know, I don't know how much we've talked about this, Walt, but, you know, I know the story that I have for our book definitely shows how I didn't know a thing about law of attraction, and yet I was still able to manifest something quite spectacular. And so we know you don't have to know about law of attraction. And, Des, that's kind of almost what I'm hearing is you're not necessarily teaching them, hey, here's the law, here's how it works. You're guiding them so that – they actually are activating the law of attraction in a deliberate way without them necessarily even knowing that that's what they're doing.
Absolutely. In fact, I mostly don't want to define it. You know, I don't want to have a class and say, well, now we're going to learn about the law of attraction. Now, I will say I give them examples, anecdotal examples, because I might say, they might say, well, I watched The Secret, and I kind of don't get it, and I tried that checks in the mail thing, and it didn't work, and I don't get my parking spots close to the, you know, the front door. And I'll say, you know what, when I watched The Secret, I was one of those people, by the way, when someone said, oh, have you watched this movie? I'd be like, no, I don't care. I don't need to watch that movie. And, you know, I was like, years. It took me years to watch the movie. And I will recommend the audiobook because I think the audiobook is the best version of that, I guess. But what I, you know, and I'm sure you guys have noticed this as well, is part of the secret frustration is that the secret it really isn't told fully. So I might say to my client, okay, this is what happened to me when I tried that checks in the mail thing. I read the, you know, saw the movie and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try this. And I had an apartment with a bunch of those little tiny mailboxes that, you know, the mail carrier puts, you know, all of them in at once. And, you know, after work every day, I drive out, use my little key, open my little door. I started getting checks for different people in my mailbox.
Oh, no.
And like soccer checks, you know, and I realized it was in the wrong box, right? So then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I have to be specific that these are for me. You know? So
that's funny. That I've never heard that one before.
That's a good one.
I was focusing on text. They just weren't for me.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, so few of us write checks now, right? Like, when was the last time you mailed a check, right? But I still use that every single time I go to the mailbox, in my cul-de-sac, in my subdivision, I feel the experience of getting a check, and I still get checks in the mail. I get the most bizarre checks. I get like 19 cents and I overpaid some stupid, you know, something. And then I get like a $900 check from like actually, this is a really good example. I went last year. I never ever get sick, so I hardly ever go to the doctor. But I had this issue where I thought, ooh, I need to get myself tested just to make sure I'm okay. And when I went for my screening, they said it was $900. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, how much?
You know? Right. And now you were sick.
But in that moment, I said to myself, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm grateful for my insurance. I'm grateful for my deductible. And like literally in that moment, I said, I'm not going to be pissed off about this. I'm not going to, you know, begrudgingly write this chain or have to write the check out, you know. So I was like handed my credit card over, my debit card, and I just went with the flow. And sure enough, that money came right back to me as an overpayment. Because sure enough, there was some kind of, you know, glitch in the system where she was checking, and that was not something out of pocket for me. But if I had been mad about it, I guarantee you that would have just gone in their, you know, bank account and never come back to me. So I still do that, you know, years and years later, where even after, you know, I used to get a lot more checks, you know, from invoices and clients and things like that. Well, with people paying online now, I rarely get a check, but I still expect it. And I still do. I get these weird, what are those called? The action suits, you know, the class action stuff.
All
you know,
right,
I get weird checks. It's amazing.
You know, that makes me think of, and I never considered it in this way, that I do get checks in the mail all the time for like $1,000 or $500 toward a new vehicle at a such and such dealership, and all you have to do is come in and buy this car, and you know they'll take $1,000 off. And because I wasn't looking to buy a car, I just threw it away. Mm-hmm. But now, based on what you've said, I am going to have a completely different viewpoint and go, look at this. I'm getting $1,000 checks in the mail.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
It's really fun.
It's amazing how much all this stuff is about.
Yeah, I just play with that stuff all the time. My new thing is I always try to get the second parking spot because I'm like, I'm not going to be greedy. I don't need the first spot. I'm going to get the second one. And I always get the second or the third spot. I'm very proud of myself for that one.
Wait a minute. What is the second spot? I mean, how do you define what the second one is?
Okay, you know, so like, let's say you go up to Target. You know, there's all the handicapped spots, and then there's like that juicy first spot. Like, oh, it's right by the door. I'm going to run in and out. Right, so I have this, I have no idea where this comes from, but it's probably, you know, something from my childhood where, you know, don't be too greedy. So I'm like, okay, I'll let someone else have the first spot. I will take the second spot. So whenever I'm driving out, it's always
I'll take the first spot, and you can have the second one.
Oh, good grief. That's funny. That's really funny. All right. Well, I asked what the second spot was. I got my answer, but I'm just sitting here saying, oh, my God. I mean, I'm happy if I get one of the first three spots. I don't try to be that specific. And here we're just like, oh, I want the second one, not the first one, not the third. I want the second one. Okay.
Well, you know, here's a bizarre little caveat that those that practice law of attraction deliberately may not be aware of, but the more time you give to your request, the more time the law of attraction has to actually orchestrate something. So if, like, you are on the road and all of a sudden you see backup lights because there's some traffic jam up front, and now you decide to say, oh, I really wish there was a great flow of traffic and there was no traffic jam, it's going to take a little bit of time for that to occur. But what I used to practice is while I was getting dressed and while I'm putting on my makeup and listening to the news, I would then set in motion that the traffic would be really smooth and easygoing for me to get from my home to my job. And whenever I did that, where I was doing it like 20 to 30 minutes or even an hour in advance, it always happened. Always. So
I like
that
this.
With parking places.
I'm learning a lot.
If I'm in the mood for a really close parking place, I'll just set it before I leave my house. Like, oh, and all the parking places today will be right up front. And boom, it happens.
I love it.
Yeah, I do the same thing, actually.
So much of this is about expectation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
you know, we just had a new moon. Well, I think it was, you know, a couple days ago, and I was talking to my son. He's 8. And a lot of people, when they learn, I love the new moon, full moon ritual of, you know, you can set out an intention on the new moon, and then you can thank the universe on the full moon. And people misinterpret this sometimes to simply make a very quick wish, like, there it is, you know, and like you said, the more you nurture it, the more you put energy into it, the more powerful it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost becomes like this beautiful mantra you can use, like every time you get in your car, you're expecting to be protected. And every time you go to the mailbox, you're expecting, you know, prosperity. So when I sign into my bank account for my business, I have really fun usernames, you know, RHI, Radiant Health Institute, that's still my bank account name, Thrive. So RHI Thrives. And I don't do the little auto sign in thing. So I literally have to type that every time I sign in, and I'm thinking about it and I'm feeling it. And, you know, again, it's about everyday simple rituals that we can have, that we just put a little injection into every time we're doing it. You know, when we take a deep breath of fresh air, when we walk outside for our walk, like, oh, gratitude. I can fill my lungs and I have clean air to breathe. And, you know, really simple things that, you know, someone else in another part of the world might not have fresh air to breathe. And so I have tremendous, every night when I fall asleep, this is kind of my daily ritual that I didn't even know was my daily ritual until someone asked me, what's your daily ritual? And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have one. But I realize I do. I've had it since I was a kid, that when I lay down at night to go to sleep, I have this tremendous sense of gratitude for safety and warmth. Like, I'm warm in my bed. I'm safe in my bed. So I don't know if that's from a past life and I wasn't safe, or I don't know where that comes from exactly, because I was, you know, safe as a child and warm as a child. But I'm so grateful that I have a bed, that I have a bedroom, that I have a home, that I'm safe, that I can go to sleep without disruption, that I can get my rest. And my pillow and my blanket is just like, oh, you know, I just have this overwhelming sense of gratitude every single night when I go to bed. So when people put that in their lives, whether it's fresh air or sunshine or, you know, their clothing or, you know, simple things, you know, when we have gratitude at that level, it's manifesting, attracting all of this other stuff to be grateful for. It's contagious. It can't help itself.
And I also want to remind listeners, if you're grateful for what you're listening to here and you're enjoying this, please take a moment, if you have not already done it, to subscribe to the podcast. We go over that every show, and it's fairly simple. Obviously, you can just go directly to the website, loatoday.net. You can also subscribe if you're on an iPhone through the iTunes store. And if you're on an Android phone, such as a Motorola or a Samsung or one of the Android phones, just get a podcast manager software. There are a lot of free ones in the Play Store. Download that, and then you can search for LOA Today there. So a lot of different ways to do it, but please do subscribe, because the people who subscribe, they're listening to all the podcasts, and that's what's driving our listenership through the roof. I mean, our number of plays per month is just growing like crazy. On top of that, if you really are getting this, if you're really enjoying this, share it with some friends. Put out a message to you know, people on your social media circles or so forth. We'll appreciate it, and they'll appreciate it too, because everybody needs their daily dose of happy, and this is just another example of how we're doing it. And Des, thank you for coming on to share this daily dose of happy. We're enjoying this very much.
You are so welcome.
And when our book comes out, Walt is saying that he's going to provide a way for you to get a free copy. And you need to be one of our subscribers.
That's true.
To get that information.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We're not going to just publish that anywhere. You have to be listening. It's a requirement, right? It's like the old radio, AM radio call-in shows. You have to be listening in order to call in at the right time to get the free gift they're giving away. Well, it's the same thing here. If you want to get the book, there's going to be a very limited window of opportunity, and you're going to have to be listening to the podcast to do it. So there's another reason. That's great. I love that. So, Des, this has been cool. I mean, I've been enjoying this, and I guess I'm not sure how to get at it except to say, where is the coaching thing going? Because it strikes me that coaching in general has has pretty much taken off. A lot of people are expressing interest in it. A lot of people are getting involved. You know, some people are actually going out of their way to get the certifications and do the proper training and so forth, and that's all good stuff. But what do you see? Do you see an explosion going on? Do you think that we've kind of peaked and fallen off? What do you see?
We are definitely starting the peak. We're in a booming industry for sure. And because of the online component, in the year 2020, so only 2 years from now, there will be 3 billion more people online because Asia is going to open up and other markets are going to open up. So it's very important when someone becomes a coach to also be online because that's where your audience is really going to be. For example, for me, I travel a lot. I can't have an office where I'm in person because I'm literally not in Nashville a lot, right? So I coach online and I coach through apps and I Skype and I FaceTime and I WhatsApp people and I text people. So my clients are international. So they also know, you know, if they're in Japan, they're going to hear from me when I wake up in the morning, wherever I am, not necessarily going to be, you know, responding right away. So coaching, there are about 300,000 professional coaches on the planet right now. And a lot more that aren't trained, aren't certified, but that's part of the confusion in the marketplace is that there does need to be probably regulation at an international level. Switzerland is now regulated. I hope that the U.S. is regulated soon by an entity like the International Coach Federation versus a government, but certainly at the statewide level, here I am in Tennessee, North Carolina and Tennessee are probably the first two states to be regulated here. And the reason for that, there are a lot of laws on the books here about, you know, you can't recommend herbs without being a clinician. And of course, a wellness coach might recommend chamomile tea or something like that. So it's a little more regimented here. So they may come down on coaches in general who aren't certified. So if anyone out there listening wants to become a coach, I want you to hear me on this. Please get accredited hours when you get trained because we will be grandfathered in when laws come into place for regulation. So you want to make sure your school, go to the ICF, coachfederation.org website, and make sure you're picking one of those schools because that way you're getting accredited hours. In our case, we offer 65. Well, if you want to be credentialed with ICF, you have to have 60 hours anyway, so it's kind of like a perk there. So if you pick one of those schools and become certified as a coach, you will have no problem when regulation comes into place. But if you're not, you're going to have to become certified later, right? Here's an example. The International Consortium for Health and Wellness Coaches, yes, that's their name. It's ICHWC.org. They are a consortium trying to come down on what they call health coaches. They would prefer health coaches call themselves wellness coaches, unless you're a clinician, right? So for example, someone who's recommending supplements should know what they're talking about, preferably, and not just trying to sell, for example, a product line. Maybe they are selling as a MLM, right? So they want to make sure this is just a safety measure for public safety. You know, if you're recommending something that someone is going to ingest as a part of their health regimen, you better know how it contraindicates with their medicine. You better know about nutrition. And that doesn't mean you're an RD, a registered dietitian. It means you better know everything you're talking about. So these regulations are important, I think, and will serve the, you know, the public a great service. So when I would say the swell is probably going to be, oh, I don't know, like we're already scheduled to train in Bangladesh and Singapore and so Asia is really kind of opening up for people becoming coaches. But Latin America and the Caribbean are the new hotspots. So people are wanting coaches there. One of my coaches, when she graduated, she went to Costa Rica. She saw that, this is great, she saw that there were massage therapists and Reiki masters and all that lined up on the beach with their little signs like, get a massage. This is for tourists, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of European, a lot of German tourists were getting their massages and their energy healing. So she put a sign up in the sand, life coach. And she, for years, 2 years, lived in Costa Rica on the beach, life coaching for a living. Because tourism is a big part of this too, right? Like when you go somewhere on vacation, you want to get a massage, you want to relax. Hey, you want to see a life coach? So we have a coach in Guatemala. She does this full-time at a resort center. We have a woman here in North Carolina that does the same at an ashram. I mean, you name it. Coaching can be done, you know, just about from anywhere to anyone. So I think the swell will happen if here we are 2018. I would say by 2025, you're going to see a huge swell of coaches. And proportionately, though, now there are very few of us compared to the general population, right? So here in Nashville, we're a city of almost 2 million people now, and there are probably around 350 professional coaches in this state. Well, hey, those are good numbers, right? So there are only 70 members of the International Coaching Federation Tennessee chapter. So if there are 2 million people and only a couple hundred of us, our numbers are really good. So we're still at that place where people are learning what it is. They want to know what it is. They might think they know what it is and they want to like, well, you know, I've heard of that. I want to try that. Or they see someone on TV that's a life coach. So we're still kind of a baby industry. We're about 40 years old right now. We're a little bit behind counseling, a little bit behind personal training and things like that. But think about how weird it sounded when a personal trainer for the first time said, I'm going to exercise with you and you're going to pay me to do that. And someone probably thought, I'm sorry, how much am I going to pay you to exercise with me? And now it's so common, right? So for a lot of people, it's like, I'm going to pay you how much money to sit and talk to you for an hour about my feelings and my thoughts and my life? But it's really becoming so desirable now. And there's definitely a great demand for what we do. That's for sure.
So, Des, you've talked a lot about how to become a coach. But if someone doesn't want to become a coach, what do they look for, and why would somebody even look for a coach of any kind? Let's start with that. Why would someone look for a coach?
Coaching is ideal for any future goal. So, for example, if I have this feeling of depression and anxiety and it's rooted in my childhood, I would want to go see a counselor because they're highly trained to deal with that. But if I want to run a marathon, get married, finish my degree, learn a new language, figure out who I am, figure out who I want to be, that's ideal for a coach. A coach is going to talk about the future, the short-term future, and the present moment. A counselor can talk about the past. If you have that feeling like, I'm sad, but I don't know why I'm sad, or I'm not quite satisfied in life, but I don't quite know why I just have this feeling of like, about my life. That's a perfect person to go see a coach. But if someone knows why they're sad, or they know like, I still have this unresolved grief about my, you know, childhood because of my mom, or this happened to me 10 years ago and I'm still thinking about it, that's better for a counselor. So coaching is ideal for if you want to get something done. If you want to figure out who you are and where you're going and get things done, a coach is ideal. But when you're looking for a coach, again, it's very important to look for these accredited hours. Because if someone just says, I'm a life coach, and they're not trained and they're not certified, they actually might be harming you more than they're hurting, you know, harming more than helping. Because let's say I go to someone and I say, I want to get married. And they say, let's try this dating circle and let's do speed dating and let's get you on match.com and let me pick out a partner for you and let me be a matchmaker, whatever they do. It's not coaching. And you wind up with the wrong person. Well, that's not going to help you. But if a coach says, you know, tell me the qualities of your future partner. And you say, ooh, okay, kindness and strength and stability and loyalty and, you know, honesty and, you know, attractiveness or whatever. That's going to start that law of attraction thing, right? That's going to start manifesting this mate. And that's what coaching is. It's all about drawing things into their lives, their, you know, the client's lives. So I have a client in Japan right now. She's dealing with business issues, relationship issues, and custody issues. So yeah, we can talk about all three of those areas in different ways because the context might be different one session from another, but the coaching is the same. I'm drawing from her own answers because she does. Who better to answer her questions than her? She knows herself better than I do, right? I'm just a facilitator of the process. So she gets to this place where she decides the next step in the custody battle. She decides the next step in her business with my support. She decides the next step with finding her next husband, which she's definitely, you know, in the market for right now. So it's all a part of, you know, you want to work with highly trained professionals who know what the process is. You certainly wouldn't want to go to a doctor that's not licensed. You wouldn't want to go to a counselor that's not trained and licensed. So the same is for coaching. We're a new industry, and some people kind of get it mixed up, like it seems kind of casual to them, and some people kind of make fun of it sometimes, like, oh, it's kind of fluff, or like, oh, I'm just going to sit and talk to someone about my life, and they're going to tell me what to do. Well, that's not what we do, first of all. That's a misnomer. But people don't take it very seriously sometimes, so we have to show them, you know, not that we're serious all the time, because we're certainly not, but it's a more lighthearted approach. That's also kind of how I think about it. If you want to have fun and be adventurous about where you're going in life, find a coach, because coaches tend to be very lighthearted, very fun, very positive. They're probably the most positive person in your life when you meet with them. And it's just very refreshing. Whereas counseling, and, you know, I'm certainly not knocking counseling. It has its place. But counseling is ideal for someone that has a resolved past trauma that they need, you know, relief from. And that is not our scope, unless some of us are both, right? There's a term out there now I've been seeing a lot, life coaching therapists. A lot of psychology coaches, that's another term out there now. So those are both. And those people are great, because then you can talk about everything. You can talk about your past,
Is that a certified role as well, or is that just another label that somebody's given themselves?
Well, a lot of counselors are realizing they're losing potential clients to coaches. So a lot of them become certified as coaches so that they won't lose their future business. And counseling kind of has, you know, in certain areas has a taboo, has a like, oh, I've been in therapy for years. So it feels very like we're always talking about the same thing. It's cognitive behavioral therapy. I never quite get to where I'm trying to go. Whereas coaching is very effective, very quick. So we only use about 4 to 6 sessions to solve an issue. And then we can move on to the next issue. So you might actually only see a client for 4 to 6 sessions and poof, then they're done. They're good. Send them on their way, and then you might see them again next year, and then you might see their spouse, you know, instead. But it's not a week after week after week process the way sometimes therapy is.
Well, that really raises another question, because somebody who's thinking about becoming a coach, probably the first thought that's in their mind after they said, yes, I'm so excited about this, is where am I going to get my clients?
Right. We spend so much time on that on my training, because I'm a marketing, you know, professional. Because the last thing you want after a certification is like, now what?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
How do I get clients, right? Do I get a website? Do I start a blog? Coaches, by the way, have a lot of forms of income. And one of the strongest ones is just to do an online course. It's kind of that money, making money while you sleep thing, right? Because we're all an expert in something, right? Where everyone is an expert in their experience, right? So maybe I'm an expert in, you know, raising kids because I have 4 of them or something, right? Maybe I'm an expert in money because I'm a financial planner. So an online course, being a workshop facilitator, being a speaker, being an author, being a coach, coaching one-on-one is only one form of income. But right after certification, you can step into a lucrative career. So here's an example. This is a formula that I used to use when I coached full-time. Monday through Friday, I had 3 sessions a day, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 2 o'clock. That way, and this is back when I used to drive to my clients, because I had business coaching clients, and I would go to their businesses, because we're better to coach them than in their business, right, where they're having their issues, or they can bring someone in and all that. So I would drive to my 10 o'clock, coach for an hour, drive to my 12 o'clock, maybe run an errand in between, catch, you know, get something to eat, drive to my 2 o'clock, done, 3 sessions a day. 3 sessions a day at my rate at the time, which was $120 an hour, now it's $150. It's times, you know, that many weeks per month, times that many months per year. It's about $100,000 for only 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week. So full-time coaching is not 40 hours a week. It's 15 hours a week. And if we're charging, the going rate nationwide is about $120 now, $125. And in your area, it might be lower, which is why you want to coach online. Because online, you can charge pretty much whatever you want. There are coaches making anywhere from $50 an hour to $2,500 an hour, depending on your area of expertise and experience, right? But if I'm charging about $120 an hour, three sessions a day, my base salary is $100,000 US. And then on top of that, I can do other things. So the marketing component is really just about, frankly, getting on social media. When I became a coach, I didn't have Facebook. I didn't have anything. I had like, should I run an ad in the paper? Right? So we're very lucky that we can run a Facebook ad campaign at very little cost. We can get on social media. We can do Facebook Lives. We can be a guest, you know, like this, a guest podcast interviewee. We can write blog postings for HuffPost. We can, you know, get the word out in ways we never have been able to before. So it's pretty easy to get the word out. This is my best advice for any new coach. If you didn't learn this in coach training, is that when you do your practicum hours, these are the hours you're practicing on people to earn your certification, just put the word out on Facebook. Facebook is the easiest way because internationally, this is where everyone is. Put it out there. I need my 20 hours. I need 20 people to practice on. Who are my people? And those people are potential clients later, right? You're also just kind of putting the word out, I'm a coach now. So when one of my coaches graduated a couple of years ago, she went on Facebook and she said exactly that thought. It's like, okay, now I'm certified. Now what do I do? Where do I get my clients? And one of the responses on Facebook was from Marianne Williamson.
Oh, my.
Because it's someone she follows and follows her, right? So Marianne's response was, what would you guess Marianne said?
Oh, I have no idea what she would say.
She said, walk the talk.
Oh, okay.
Which is great advice. You know, be that person that coaches yourself, right? My response was, because I'm a marketing nerd, was tell everyone you know that you're a coach now. Because I have this concept of, I call it the top 22. Everyone has about 22 people in their life that really care about them. Maybe it's a former college roommate. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend, right? But 20 or so people, I think I have a theory that there are 22, really, really want to know what you're doing and they want to see you succeed. So my method is reach out to those 20 people, those 22 people every month, text them, call them, email them, send them a letter in the mail. You know your people that would prefer a letter versus a text versus an email versus a call. Reach out once a month. Let them know what's going on. Let them know what you need. I need clients. I have a workshop coming up. I have a book coming out. I want to do some pro bono work. I'm, you know, trying to decide the title of my new book. Whatever you need, reach out to those people and they will send you clients because they're going to say to their friends and their colleagues and everyone else, oh, my sister just became a life coach. Oh, my brother just became a money coach. You know, my uncle needs some of that. Oh, I need to send you my so-and-so. Oh, my team member, you know, at work needs that. Oh, my husband needs this. So they will start sending you people. So the thing that people are shy about, like, oh, I just became a coach, you know, I'm not very good yet. If they stay small like that, they won't get clients. But if you're really bold on social media and your own presence and you say, I am so proud to have recently become certified through my training school. I'm so excited about my future clients. Who wants to be coached by me? Right?
Very good.
The law of attraction at work.
Well, we've got about a minute left, so I'm afraid we have to kind of cut it short here. But Des, first of all, I want to thank you for coming onto the show and sharing your experience and telling us about what's going on in the coaching industry, because it's been very fascinating to hear it.
I'm thrilled that you're one of our co-authors.
Absolutely.
You're really good at marketing, because I think you're going to help us blow off the doors on marketing all the way today through our
Absolutely.
New book.
Oh, it's going to be fun, too, when that book comes out. Let me tell you, it's going to be a blast. But thank you, Des, because your insights have been great. So thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Wendy, looks like we're at the end of our week, but you and I get to do it again next week. Isn't that fun?
It's always fun.
So please come join us again next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.